You're listening to Tech Thursday on West Limerick 102 FM.
Hello there, and you're very welcome to Tech Thursday. This is Patrick Sheehan. I'm going to be with you for the next hour or so. I'll be answering any questions you have tech-related. If you have any questions, you can call 069-66-200, or you can text or WhatsApp 087-166-9800, or you can email patrick102fm@gmail.com, and I'll answer any technology-related questions you might have. And to start off with, we have a question from Margaret in Newcastle West. She was asking about, she said that she saw in a magazine about video doorbells and if they were any good, want to know more about them. So I have a few articles here. It's something I haven't used or installed, but I've read a bit about them and I've heard a bit about them on different tech podcasts. And so I was looking up the best video doorbell cameras for 2021, a few different ones. I was reading a bit about them, how they're installed and things like that. So there's pretty much battery powered ones and wired ones. And the wired ones are, say, if you already have a wired doorbell, but it's a certain type. I was looking up, say, the Google one, how to install them and things like that, how they work, the wired ones. So if you have a wired doorbell already, you can kind of attach the two wires that are in the back of your doorbell to it. And inside in the house where the ringer is, you attach Google's little ringer, their chime, onto the power that goes into your own chime. And then onto the wires of the doorbell itself. So there's a bit of wiring in them. It's two wires go into it, and those two wires go in a little dongle and go out the other side of it then. So it might be a thing that would be best left to an electrician to do or something like that. But it can be, for an electrician, it would be like a 5 or 10 minute job. It's a quick job if you have a wired doorbell already. If you don't have a wired doorbell, you might be better off with the battery ones maybe. Some of the battery ones last months. You know, and you can swap out different rechargeable batteries, so they're not too bad. So you have the wired and the wireless ones. You have ones that will say some of the Google ones will connect with like the Google Home, the Google Nest Hub screen, so you can actually have your doorbell. If somebody rings the doorbell, it can appear on your screen, so it can work with the Google Home app. Other ones, or you can download apps with them as well. Some are subscription. Some will do 24-hour recording. So it all depends on what you're looking for. Some will do 24-hour recording. Some will capture, say, when somebody rings the bell, it'll capture the 5 minutes around that, you know, before and after or something like that. There's lots of different ones. Obviously, the wireless ones, you're going to be changing batteries. There's the famous branded ones, and there's the kind of cheaper ones. So there's lots of... let's see what the CNET says about their... they say the best overall doorbell is the Arlo Video Doorbell. It's $110. The best without a subscription is the Nest Doorbell. I think that's the Google one. That's $180. The best value is the Ring Video Doorbell wired version. It's 60, but maybe you'd have a subscription or things with those. Best for apartment dwellers, the Ring Peephole Cam. Best wireless video doorbell, the Arlo Essential Wire-Free Video Doorbell. Video doorbells are getting smarter all the time. And come on, who hasn't wished to hit a doorbell camera one time or another? Yeah. Especially nowadays, a lot of people are getting packages delivered and things like that, and some of them have good wide angle cameras, so if something is dropped at your doorstep, or if you have like a sliding door and the camera's inside, you can keep an eye on deliveries and things like that to make sure that if they're taken, at least you'll be able to see who did it and things like that. So if you have a wired doorbell, you could consider a wired if you go on the Google website and look into their one, it gives you a bit of information about about what type of doorbell, because there's different, you know, there's wired doorbells with batteries and there's wired doorbells without batteries. They're just straight wired onto the mains, and some will work and some won't, and depends on the setup you have, if it's compatible with the wired ones or not. So that's best to check that up and make sure you get the right type that will suit you. If you don't have an already wired doorbell, there's lots of good wireless ones. There's different battery lives. You can, you know, get a list of all the things you want, you know, whether you want a 24-hour recording or you just want it to record incidents. A lot of the 24-hour recording ones, you have to subscribe and maybe pay a tenner a month or a fiver a month or something for the subscription. It'll save on the cloud. You'll have your own login, and you can have the app set up on your phone where you can, if some incident happens, you can go back and watch what happened and things like that. And night vision, and if it's dark where you are, if there's lighting on the street, if there isn't, you'd want one with a good night vision. So, yeah, so that's, you know, if you're going to your shop or something, have a list of what you want in it to get, you know, from your electrical store, or if you're looking online, and make sure it ticks all the boxes and look for different reviews and things like that. But, you know, some of the likes of the Google Nest and that Arlo one would be fairly reliable. I think Google only has two. It has the wired and the wireless at the moment. No, they have... When it comes to just purely doorbells, they have other cameras and stuff as well. But there's the Ring video doorbell as well. Those three, and see which one best suits your needs. But if you're just looking for something more budget orientated, there's lots of ones for lower price as well. The Ring video is 60, but I'm not sure about the subscription. But there are cheaper ones even without subscription. You can just install a simple app. If you don't want something too fancy, you can get a lot of cheaper ones as well. Arlo's video doorbell cam is easy to install, performs well, has competitive features, cloud storage starting at £3 a month. So that's not too bad. With a cloud storage subscription, you'll get access to advanced functionality like custom person, animal, vehicle and package alerts. The Arlo video doorbell, our pick for the best doorbell overall. So that's on CNET, they say is their favorite one. Best without a subscription, the Nest doorbell, Google's newest video doorbell, costs £180 and is a breeze to set up whether you've got a doorbell wiring or not. When we tested it, we were impressed with the free out-of-the-box smarts, including package, person, vehicle and animal alerts, 3 hours of event storage. While these features won't match the ones you get with a subscription with Nest Aware or other services like Rings or Arlo's, they're a solid place to start if you're hoping to just try a video doorbell for the first time. A nice bonus, the Nest doorbell battery also works well with Google Assistant power devices like the Nest Hub. Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier, that you can use it with the Nest screen. Best value Ring doorbell, wired. The best value as the Ring doorbell wired. Ring has been calling for its partnership with local police departments in the US, leading to advocates to express concern about Ring's data. I don't know, can you get a Ring ones for sale here? There probably are. It's just I haven't ever bought one of them, but just other Ring products I haven't seen for sale here. But Ring's subscription is £3 a month as well, same as the Arlo one. Including it works, has features including smart responses with Alexa. So if you're more on the Amazon side of things, maybe the Ring one might work better. Best for apartment dwellers, Ring People Cam. People Cam is Ring's answer to apartment doors for any doors with peoples. If you want to or can't drill into a door frame to install a hardwired or battery powered doorbell, the People Cam is a solid alternative. Entirely battery powered, People Cam replaces your standard people with a few simple steps. You'll still be able to see through like a regular people, but you'll also be able to pull a live video feed of your front door on demand and talk to any visitors. That's another thing too. If it's something you want, is to have, you can have back and forth. You can talk to people and they can hear you and they can talk back to you. You can have two-way audio even from away using the app. Say if you're over in Lanzarote and someone rings your doorbell, you can talk to them. You can say, yeah, you can just leave that package on the ground, thanks very much, you know, you can, I'll somebody will get it, and you can ring your neighbor to go and get it or something. like that even from anywhere else in the world once you have an internet connection using the app. So that's it. There is some benefits to them. All right, it's handy. It might help stop. And of course, thieves or anything like that, if your house gets broken into, you'll have at least a bit of video footage of that. So yeah, that's the video doorbells. So best of luck with that, Margaret. You'll have a bit of fun. I hope some of my it'll give you an idea of what direction to look in. You know, if you have a wired doorbell already, you might be thinking, oh, I'll get a wired one, I don't need to be changing batteries. Because batteries on outdoor doorbells and things like that in Ireland's cold weather mightn't last too long, you know. 2 to 6 months, but it might be on the 2 month side of things in Ireland because of our colder weather. So that'd be changing batteries every so often. And some of them mightn't take a standard like AA battery or whatever. It might take more expensive batteries, depends on the type of one you get. So it could the cost could run up. So if you have a wired doorbell, it might be just as handy to get a wired video doorbell as well, and then you don't have to worry about it when it comes to power. So yeah, that's it. Oh, and if you're looking for a really cheaper one, there's like the Blink 1080p video doorbell for around £50. So that's a kind of an entry point one if you want to go for a kind of a starter one like that. So that are pretty cheap too. There's lots of those ones as well, but you have to be careful because a lot of them would be very poor quality, and they mightn't last as long, and their night vision mightn't be good. And so you have to be careful about cheaper stuff when it comes to electronics, because a lot of them make a lot of bold promises that they're never going to keep. So that's why sometimes you're better off go for the kind of names you might know, or names that have become popular, and you know, pick and choose from those. There's a lot of non-brand names as well. You know, I've bought different things from unknown companies at the time, and Anchor cables and things like that, which were an unknown company, but they're becoming popular now. But years ago, I said, oh, that's very good quality. You know, if you read into the article and look at the pictures and, you know, try to see what other people's reviews have been and things like that, you get an idea that you can get good value for things as well. But I know it's a bit of a risk, but I've also bought stuff that looked really good, and when I got them, it was a different story. So it's happened both ways. So another question we have is from Jackie. She said she has a smartwatch, and it's been running down battery pretty quickly. It's only lasting a couple of days, or a day and a half or something like that. And said she's charging it up all the time. And you know, here's about other people that have ones that last really long, and she said she's not that bothered about having a screen and having all the things. She just wants to log her steps and do her heart BPMs and things like that. Doesn't need a big watch, as a handy watch, and isn't bothered about having all the being able to look up your messages and all that. Not bothered about messages, music, things like that on the watch. Just wants to literally for just health purposes. So I was doing a bit of research, and what might be a good option there might be actually a hybrid smartwatch. And a hybrid smartwatch, if you haven't heard one, is like a normal watch, but it has some of the sensors built in. So you can connect to your... It looks like a normal watch. It has the normal ticking hands and everything on it. But you can connect your phone to it and install the app that comes with it. Most of them have their own apps. There's like a lot of the brands, you know, like Guess and Armani, and those have their own hybrid smartwatches. And just looks like a normal watch, but then you connect to it through Bluetooth and you can install the app. And the app then, on many of them, depends on which watch you get, but they'll do all the stuff that you'd normally get in the watch itself through a screen. So you can get, you know, your CO2, blood oxygen, or you can get your BPMs, your heart monitor, and you can get your steps and sleep cycles and all the usual stuff you'd get in a smartwatch, but all just through the phone. You can just check it there. So it's just to give you a more accurate step count, and it's to be able to do your heart and stuff like that. So that would be a good alternative, maybe, if you're not into a smartwatch. You just want a normal watch, but you like to have the smart features, but you're not bothered about having a big screen on your wrist all the time. So that might be a good idea. Also, when it comes to battery life, of all the smartwatches, these would be the best, because you can get like 2 to 6 months out of batteries. So they last much longer. If you don't want to be bothered about charging them all the time, the batteries last much longer. Now, some of them have replaceable batteries, some of them are rechargeable, but most of the longer term ones are replacement batteries. So they have like normal watch batteries. But every 6 months mightn't be too bad, especially when it does have those smart features. So, So that's an alternative, is the hybrid smartwatches. So that might be the alternative that might suit you. So best of luck with that, Jackie. That's what I'd recommend, is a hybrid smartwatch if you want the features without the screen and you want long battery. So that's some of our questions for today. Let's get to some of the latest in tech. NASA shuffles astronaut crew assignments amid ongoing Boeing delays. So two NASA astronauts originally slated to launch on the upcoming flight of Boeing's new Starliner spacecraft have been reassigned to an upcoming SpaceX flight instead, as delays continue to push back Starliner's next flight to space. Astronauts Nicole Mann and Josh Quesada were supposed to be among the first human passengers on Starliner during its first crewed flight in the coming years. Now they'll be flying together on SpaceX's fifth crewed mission on the International Space Station, which will be slated to take place in autumn of 2022. Mann and Quesada were first assigned to fly on Starliner in 2018. Mann was supposed to fly on the Starliner first crew test flight along with Michael Finke and Butch Wilmore. A critical test to prove that Starliner is safe to carry people. And Quesada was slated to fly on the next mission afterwards. So they're both going to fly with Elon Musk's SpaceX ship instead, because Starliner isn't ready yet. Boeing's new ship for NASA. So at least they're getting there anyway, and things are getting done, so needs to be shuffled around. That's the problem with space travel, it's very complicated and there's a lot that can go wrong, and a lot needs to be checked, and they try to be as safe as they possibly can be, even though they're never 100% safe, the likes of Voyager and things like that, some of the terrible things that happened over the years, but they have some of the best engineers in the world working on these things. Windows 11 is causing performance issues for some AMD Ryzen processors, but a fix is on the way later this month. Windows 11 is officially out, but if you've got an AMD processor, you might want... Is it officially out? Or it's the beta version? I don't think the full version is out for everyone worldwide, is it? It's like, I thought it was next month or the end of this month or something. Windows is officially, but if you've got an AMD Ryzen processor, you might want to hold off on updating for a bit. The company is reporting that its chips might have issues with the new OS that could cause performance drops of up to 15% in some cases. AMD and Microsoft have found two main issues with Windows 11 on Ryzen. The first is that Windows 11 may cause L3 cache latency to triple, and that the issue could cause 3 to 5% worse performance in most affected applications. While some games, AMD specifically calls out those commonly used for esports, could see performance dips of 10 to 15%. Windows 11 is also having issues with AMD's preferred core technology, which usually aims to shift threads over the fastest core on a processor. AMD warns that this could see performance issues on CPU reliant tasks specifically on processors with more than 8 cores, about 65 watt TDP. AMD and Microsoft have already confirmed that they are actively investigating these known issues for resolution via software updates. So that's interesting. I hope they can sort that out. But there's always, when there's a full new software, there's always bugs and stuff needs to be worked out. Netflix will edit phone numbers out of Squid Game following prank calls. So this very popular TV show that's out, it's a Korean show. It's very gory, and I think I was talking about it last week, Squid Game, but it's a great show. It's the most addictive show I've ever watched. It's very good, but not for the faint of heart, I suppose. Definitely not, but it's very good. But in the show, your strangers are given a card, and the card has a number written on the back. And unfortunately, they didn't do what the Americans do and use 555 at the start of all these phone numbers. And so it doesn't actually correspond with an actual person's phone number. They just picked random numbers and they turned out to be actual people's phone numbers. So people were getting prank calls and everything. So now Netflix is changing some of the numbers. Maybe when it went out in America, it corresponded with actual American numbers, so they're changing the numbers. They're editing them out of the video in the actual TV show itself. So that'll take a long time to do. That'll be a complicated job because it's not easy to edit things out like that. They're editing phone numbers shown in the series who dialed because they were real numbers, leading to what the company described as an unfortunate prank. Prank Dials, the Korean drama about a sadistic game in which players find themselves with no option but to participate in a series of twisted challenges, contains visible phone numbers in multiple scenes, a phone number that is also clearly visible in the Squid Game trailer. Reuters, which earlier reported the news, cited Netflix and production company Siren Pictures as saying they purposefully did not include a complete number and weren't aware the number would reach... In a real line, Netflix confirmed that to The Verge that the numbers that appeared in Squid Game will be edited, adding that it hopes this will change and end the prank calls. A man who claims to be the owner of the number told a local media outlet that he had been bombarded with messages and calls, adding that they had made it difficult to live life normally. Oh, well, that's sad. However, it appears as though multiple individuals may have received calls from enthusiast Squid Game viewers. Netflix did not immediately return a request for clarification. Why would people ring a number from a TV show? It's fictional, like. But as the man says, I suppose there's always one. A text message routing company suffered a 5-year-long breach. Cineverse handles some of the biggest carriers' messages. Cineverse, a telecom company that helps carriers like Verizon, T-Mobile, and AT&T in the US, route messages between each other and other carriers abroad, disclosed last week that it was the subject of a possible 5-year-long hack. If the name Cineverse sounds familiar, a company that was responsible for the disappearance of a swath of Valentine's Day text messages in 2019. The hack in question was brought to light in a Securities and Exchange Commission filing Cineverse published last week. In it, Cineverse shares that in May 2021, it became aware of unauthorized access to its operational and informational technology systems by an unknown individual or organization. The company notified law enforcement and conducted an internal investigation, resulting in the discovery that the security breach first started in May 2016. That's 5 years of possibly unfettered access. The hackers gained unauthorized access to databases within its network on several occasions, and that login information allowing access to and from its electronic data transfer environment was compromised for approximately 235 of its customers. The filing reads, that could include access to call records, metadata like phone numbers, locations, and the content of text messages, according to motherboard source. So that's not good. It doesn't say any of the... It just says here about the American ones. but it doesn't say which international carriers it was involved with. I hope it wasn't involved with any Irish ones. Xbox Cloud Gaming is now fully powered by faster Xbox Series X hardware. Microsoft gets ready to bring its xCloud tech to TVs. Microsoft Xbox Cloud Gaming Service xCloud is now fully powered by custom. They love the word, the letter X. It's our letter for the day. By custom Xbox Series X hardware, Microsoft tells The Verge it recently completed the upgrade, which improves both frame rates and game load times for players streaming Xbox games over the web. While Microsoft has moved Xbox cloud gaming to 1080p and 60 frames per second streams in recent months, the company has yet to unlock the full potential of custom Xbox Series X hardware and deliver 4K streams. It's not clear when this will be available, but Microsoft has been moving towards delivering Xbox cloud gaming beyond just mobile devices and browsers. Microsoft is currently working on a dedicated Xbox app for TV that will allow Xbox players to stream games without a console. Standalone streaming devices that you can plug into a TV or monitor are also being planned. So something like Google Stadia or something like that. And it's reasonable to assume that it could be further upgrades to Xbox cloud gaming resolution to match this TV push. So that's interesting the way they're going. Game streaming I've done is, say, with PlayStation Now. Instead of downloading a game, I wanted to try it out first, we'll say, and I just play it. I just stream it rather than download it. And most of the time, there's a bit of loading time for the game to actually come on, maybe 3 or 4 minutes. But once it starts playing, you don't know. It feels like a disc game. It feels like a downloaded game. I've never had games get frozen. I've played like hours and hours of a game like that, and it's never frozen. It's been pretty good. The quality has been fairly okay. It's never got stuck or anything like that. And I have fairly good internet, say between 85 and 95 or 100 would be the highest. But that seems to be plenty anyway for it to work quite well. Now, obviously, PlayStation Now streaming would be all PS4 games, so it helps that the PS5 has an SSD and playing PS4 games should be quite easy for it. So that probably helps as well. There is no PlayStation 5 games on PlayStation Now yet to stream, especially. So I haven't tested those out yet. I still have not actually bought a PS5 game, believe it or not, even though I have it since Christmas last year. So I still haven't bought a game for it. I've been just using all PlayStation Now, and yeah, so the only PlayStation 5 game that I've actually played is the one that came built into it, the fun little game that came with the PS5. That's amazing. That's definitely the longest I've owned a console without buying a game. And never mind having got it new. Like even the PlayStation 4, I'd buy a game every so often. I wouldn't have gone that long, you know. It's going on for a year in the next couple of months without buying a game. That's amazing. But I'm still glad I got the console. I really like it because it's a very good multimedia device. I love PlayStation Now and stuff like that, so yeah, but I haven't bought a game. So, and they say the way they make money is from people buying games and things like that. But a lot of games were delayed as well. Like, I'm not into that many different types of games. It's mostly like Tomb Raider, Uncharted type games, and there haven't been any new ones of those. And other than that, lots of Gran Turismo as well. So, and that one has been delayed. I'm still playing Gran Turismo Sport, the one from PS4. So, So they might be although I was interested in the Spider-Man game, but it was very expensive. So I might wait till that comes down to about £20 and buy that. Anyway, Nintendo Switch OLED review, screen time. It's not 4K. Yeah, there was controversy over that last week. But it sure looks good. Buying an upgraded version of a gadget can be complicated. It's not always immediately clear that it has changed or those changes are even useful. Is it the ones with the... Yeah, it's the one... It's not the light version with the stuck-on sides on it, the little toggles that can be plugged in and switched onto the TV. So if you don't have, like me, you don't have a Switch... It might be a good idea. The new $350 OLED switch is functionally is functionally identical to the version that launched in 2017. It plays all of the games, has the same interface, and uses the same controllers. Those games don't have any kind of performance boost. No better frame rates or higher resolution, aside from some small tweaks and an improved kickstand. Slightly redesigned dock with more storage. The hardware doesn't seem all that different when you pick it up. It just feels like a Switch. But as soon as you turn on the screen, you can see the difference. The new Switch swaps the original LCD display for a bigger, brighter OLED screen. It doesn't fundamentally change what the Switch is or what you can do with it. But if you plan on spending a lot of time in handheld mode, it makes a big difference on how you experience games. So the good stuff and the bad stuff. A beautiful OLED screen is the good stuff. A kickstand that doesn't suck. And extra storage, so that's good. And the bad stuff, same old Joy-Con and drift concerns. Yeah, that's the same with the PlayStation, Xbox, all of them use the same terrible joystick controllers that are very, very vulnerable to breakage. Going back to the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 2, and same with the old Xbox, and yeah, they really need to update those, find a better way, a tougher Joy-Con setup, even if they can get the same company to just improve it and strengthen it. And yeah, like as I said before, my PlayStation 4 controller fell from a coffee table that was like less than knee height, a very low coffee table, and it just broke. It just I turned on a game and it was just turning left all the time, and oh, it was a disaster. And it was a fairly new controller that was 100%, and you know, and it had the rubber covers and the rubber cover on the controller itself as well, and it still broke. So they are very delicate, those Joy-Cons. I think I have like 3 or 4 controllers between PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 3 in a drawer that all have drift on them. Or either that or just make them easy to change. You know, that you can take a couple of screws out the back, take it apart, pop out the Joy-Con and put in another one. If they're not able to fix the drift problems, just sell them for like £20 or £10 or something and just be able to swap them out yourself. No performance improvements or benefit is the other downside. So that's it. The original 6.2-inch display and a jump. The basics. The OLED Switch has a 7-inch OLED screen, which is a bump from the original 6.2-inch display, and a huge jump from the portable-only Switch Lite, which has a 5.5-inch. Also, the Switch Lite has... I forgot about that. It has a smaller screen than the original Switch. And then the new one has a bigger screen, so the new one will be the biggest. The new OLED will be the biggest of all the Switch's screens, so that's good. Facebook blames faulty configuration change for its nearly 6-hour outage. It felt like it was 6 days because people kept talking about it. They're still talking about it now and making jokes and memes and everything about it. Facebook blamed a faulty configuration change for a nearly 6-hour outage that prevented the company's 3.5 billion users from accessing its social media and messaging services such as WhatsApp, Instagram and Messenger. In a blog post, the company did not specify who executed the configuration change and whether it was planned yesterday. It said our engineering team have learned that configuration changes on the backbone routers that coordinated network traffic between our data centers caused issues that interrupted the communication. The distribution to network traffic had caused a cascading effect on the way that our data centers communicate, bringing the service to a halt. We want to make it clear at this time that we believe the root cause of this outage was a faulty configuration change. We have no evidence that user data was compromised as a result of the downtime. The platform added that it was working to understand more about the outage in order to make our infrastructure more resilient. So there was a lot of social commentary on the outing, shall we say. A lot of people were saying, don't bring them back at all. Just let them die where they are and the world will be a better place. And I do agree with it to a certain extent. I love WhatsApp, though, because I'm an Android user, and Android text messaging is stuck in the... because they were trying to make a deal to have a fully updated text messaging system with where you can send video messages and all that kind of stuff, and it never seemed to work out. We're still stuck on the SMS from the Nokia 3310. When it comes to now, there have been slight upgrades, but not a lot. So we're stuck using the likes of Viber and WhatsApp and things like that. Signal is another one. I haven't used that much though, but it's becoming popular now. So those are becoming popular nowadays. So when the outing happened, WhatsApp was kind of the only thing I really missed. I don't really go on Facebook much anymore. Instagram, I never used it. I put up a few photos. I have an account. And like as a photographer, I should be using Instagram a good bit, but the whole user experience is terrible on it. I don't get it, like Twitter and Facebook at least are a bit more user friendly. I'm not a fan of Instagram. And Messenger, I don't like Messenger either as well. I much prefer WhatsApp, how WhatsApp works. It's like just a normal messaging system with added videos and photos and things like that, voice messages and things. I just find it easier to use than I hate the little pop-up circle that you have to drag to get rid of it on Messenger. I don't like that kind of thing. Just open the app, close the app, you know. As in every other app. I don't know why the Messenger is different, the way it pops up and things. I'm not a fan of that. Google rivals want EU lawmakers to act via new tech rules. DuckDuckGo and three other search engine rivals to Google have urged EU lawmakers to take action against the Alphabet unit's new tech rules. The company said they have yet to see positive results from a competition ruling against Google. The European Commission in 2018 levied a record €4.24 billion fine on Google for unfairly using Android to cement its dominance of the search engine and ordered it to ensure a level playing field for its rivals. Google subsequently made changes and 4 months ago said it would let rivals compete for free to be the default search engine on Android devices in Europe. US search engine DuckDuckGo, Germany's Ecosia and French peers Quaint and Lilo said lawmakers should use tech rules drafted by the EU competition chief Margrethe Vestager, called the Digital Markets Act, to ensure competition. Despite recent changes, we do not believe it will move market share significantly due to its persisting limitations, they said in a joint letter to European Parliament lawmakers. The new laws have come in, but it hasn't made a dint with Google. They're too big. I think the only way to make it competitive is to like break it up or something. But, you know, there's downsides to that then as well. And, you know, there's a lot of good things done by Google as well, you know. The likes of SatNav technology, you know, of course, has put a lot of SatNavs out of business as well. But they were also extremely expensive, you know, they wanted you to pay £30 a month or something, some of the old ones for subscriptions for maps, when that was very overpriced. And then Google came on and did it for free. Same with a lot of the Office apps and stuff for like Word documents and things like that. They have their own versions of those that are free as well. And now a lot of it I know is to kind of to put their rivals in trouble, and it's worked. But it is handy for people. It opens stuff up, and it's a lot of people are in favor of open technologies and things like that. So. So that's the there is the, but then they have kind of cornered the market, and they've eliminated their rivals and things like that. So, and they give the software away for free because they're selling ads, and they're using your information and to sell ads and things like that, or trying to aim things at you for advertising. So that's how they make their money. Just a few more bits and pieces now before we go. Sindoso to open European headquarters in Dublin, creating 100 new jobs. So that's more jobs for Ireland. The San Francisco-based company is to establish a European headquarters in the city, as well as a warehouse for storing and distributing its products. The new positions will be across a variety of specialities, including software engineering, business development and supply chain, and customer support. The firm, which enables people to send personalized gifts, branded swag, as they call it, e-gifts and virtual experiences, is in significant volumes, said it was plans to source a local Irish product as part of its corporate gifting catalogue. So that's a new company opening. Public urge to ignore scam calls as cyber fraud incidences increase. So there's been a lot in the news recently. We've had it here on our Garda report and things like that about people being scammed. So there, people are again being urged to not respond or engage with scam texts, phone calls or emails seeking personal information following a recent rise in fraud cases. The Minister for Justice today said that no government department would ever contact members of the public seeking their PPS numbers or bank details, and said that the message for people receiving such messages is ignore, ignore, ignore. Heather Humphreys was speaking at the time at the launch of a new campaign to raise awareness of cybercrime. The campaign, which will be run by the Garda National Cybercrime Bureau and the Department of Justice, will see Gardaí engage with communities in a series of events nationwide to provide information on how to protect yourself from these scams. Data from the CSO crime statistics for this year show a 40% increase in fraud offences in the year to June 2021 compared to the previous year. Yeah, I see a lot of people are in lockdown and people are, well, we're coming out of it slightly now, but, you know, over the last year have been at home a lot more and are shopping a lot more online and things like that, with the fears of COVID and things like that, and people have been afraid to go out and maybe are using online shopping for the first time, and they might be more vulnerable. They might be as used to seeing the attempts at scams, emails and things like that, as they were before, as other people might be that are doing it for years. So there's a lot of new people on the internet, in other words. That's it, just to be aware. And like, if there's a bank or anything, if you get a text message or an email from a bank, and it's your own bank or whatever like that, or any bank, the best thing to do is get the number for the actual, your local branch or for the bank itself separately somewhere else, like look it up and ring them. And then ask them a query about, I got a text message and it says I owe this or I owe that, or it's asking for information. Is this from you? And, you know, they'll tell you what to do. Or go to your local branch and tell them, you know, and that's the safest way to do it. Don't trust these emails and things like that, because some of them are very realistic looking. It looks like it's really coming from your actual bank, and it can be very deceptive. So the best thing to do is go out of that message and go into your own. If you have a number for your local branch, ring them, or ring, get the number separately, or ask somebody else, you know. Ask somebody else for advice, and don't just immediately react to things like that. So the last few bits and pieces here: the Steve Jobs deal with Michael Dell that could have changed Apple and tech history. It's been 10 years since the death of Steve Jobs, and Michael Dell talks about the memories of the tech icon, including when Jobs tried to convince Dell to license Mac software and run on Intel-based PCs. Well, that would have been interesting. It wouldn't be the walled garden that it is today. So they almost made a deal. So it was a big change from 1997, after running as an interim CEO at Apple that was months away from bankruptcy. Jobs was looking for help and famously got $150 million cash investment from Microsoft and Bill Gates, and gave Microsoft Internet Explorer a boost over the popular Netscape Navigator browser. But lesser known is that Jobs also tried to cut a deal with Michael Dell. So that was interesting. I didn't know that now either. The World Health. Oh yes, this is actually massive news. This is one of the biggest. If COVID hadn't happened, this would be the biggest scientific or kind of health related news of the year. You know, millions and millions of people have died in history. It's one of the biggest killers ever in history, is malaria. And so the World Health Organization has approved a wide rollout of the world's first malaria vaccine. Vaccine maker GSK says it's the product of 30 years of research into the disease, which kills a child every 2 minutes. Experts believe it prevents around 3 in 10 serious cases. It could save hundreds of thousands of lives, particularly in Africa. Salome Situma is a supervising nurse at Kisumu County Hospital in Kenya, where trials have begun taking place, and we have a clip from her here.
You see, most of our beds are now not occupied. The vaccine has really made a very big impact.
So that's amazing. You know, the vaccine, they're doing trials with it already, and it's making a big impact. So that is going to be absolutely amazing, especially in places like Africa that have a high incidence of malaria. It will save potentially millions of lives going forward. So that's going to be probably a Nobel Prize for the team involved with that. And hopefully it works out well for that. So that's absolutely amazing. Another big story, of course, in Irish news at the moment is our tax rate. The finance minister is remaining tight-lipped over whether Ireland's corporation tax is going to go up. The government will decide later whether the country will increase our rate to 15% as part of a global agreement. Senior ministers will hold a cabinet meeting on the issue. Speaking about it was Pascal O'Donoghue. He said that they will receive a revised agreement from the OECD later.
The OECD have said they will be issuing a new document in advance of the larger meeting of nearly 140 countries taking place tomorrow. And the government will evaluate that text and my view on it. And we'll be in a position then to make our view clear this evening in advance of the meeting, I hope, tomorrow.
It's another tricky one, you know. You know, we don't want to be kind of being used by companies to come over and kind of use it to save themselves a lot of money. But we don't want to lose all the companies that are actually coming over here manufacturing and giving lots of jobs to Irish people. And the reason that we were able to go from, say, the poverty of the 70s and 80s into a much better country, you know, more less poverty than we've ever had, and the higher standard of living than we've ever had. We've one of the highest standards of living in the world, you know, so, and we don't want to lose that, you know, and that's thanks to our low tax rate and all the companies being able to come in and people being able to get jobs and you know, go up in life and things like that. So we don't want to lose that. And that was a great incentive for companies to come in, but it was abused by different companies that a lot of them just had half empty offices and just were using it to launder money, kind of almost, not quite, not officially launder, but legally kind of launder money through Ireland. But it'll be strange if we go level with all the rest of Europe if we join this 15%, because we lose our incentive and what helped us to, you know, we're not a huge country, you know, we're not taking every single business from all these big countries that have a lot more incentives, like Central European countries that can distribute all around Europe easily by road. We need something to give us a bit of an advantage. I know we have the English language, we're the last country left that speaks English, so it might help with some American companies, but when it comes to distribution across Europe and things like that, we don't have an advantage there. You know, other countries do. You can go by road, you can go by train, distributing a lot of products and things like that if you have things there. So we still need, you know, we still need to do as much as we can. So it's interesting to see how it goes. But we also don't want to be used, you know, to launder money. So if there was maybe a rule on production, maybe if it was something like that, the company can come in and they can only get that rate on what's actually being produced in the country or what's actually being done by Irish staff or, you know, things like that, that they have to be here and people working here and things like that. So it's interesting how it's going to go. Yeah, it could have an economic effect if we join the rest of Europe. It'll be interesting. A lot of companies, I don't know if companies will leave, or maybe just when their contracts are up to be renewed and they have to go up to the higher percentage, they'll just go away. They'll just go to China or go somewhere else. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. So that's been Tech Thursday today. If you have any questions, any time at all, you can leave questions. You can email patrick102fm@gmail.com. You can call 069-66200, or you can text 087-166-9800. Hope you've enjoyed the show. I'll be back again next week with more tech news and answering your questions. Thanks for listening. I've been Patrick Sheehan. Peace.
You're listening to Tech Thursday on West Limerick 102 FM.